Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
With that said, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here we go. We go to the screen. I've entitled this evening's message, Final Authority is from God. Final authority is from God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. We're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7. And this is where Paul the Apostle is shifting now. He's shifting gears. And now he's expounding the authority of God for us humans, especially us believers, that we should follow. Because you got to remember, before the Apostle Paul became the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. So they had a law in place already. They had the Hebraic law. They had the Levitical law. Okay? But now that he's born again, and now he has a new name, the Apostle Paul from Saul of Tarsus, he's going to look at both of the laws, the law of God and the law of man, and how he somehow meshes them together that we are to honor both. Can I get amen? Amen. We are to honor God, and we also to honor the law of the land. And so we're going to see that God has instituted the law for mankind. Thank God for the law. Just imagine there was no law here in our country or around the world. It would be what? Lawlessness everywhere. We're talking about true lawlessness. People could just break down your door and take what you got. Only the strong would survive. Yes, and not even that. So let's go to the Word of God and let's see how Paul wrote this down for his day and for our day as well. So let's go. Romans 13, starting with verse 1. And here we go. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Did you catch that? So there was already an authority at work. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Ask the people that are doing time for legitimate reasons. They'll let you know that they what? Went against the ordinance of God. Verse 3, look at this. For rulers are not a terror. Look at this. For rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to evil. Look at this. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So he's given us a clue. You want to stay away from prison? You want to stay away from authority in a real critical way? Then guess what? Learn how to conduct yourselves in the authority which has given to us here on this earth for us. It's there for us. The law is good. I thank God for the sheriff, the police. I'm telling you, some of you may say, man, I hate the police. Okay, someone busts into your home, who you calling? Ghostbusters? No, you're going to call 911, aren't you? Someone just busted in my pad and took everything. You're going to call the law. Well, the law's in place for us, right? Look at this. For if he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. This is why God instituted the law. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Just go back when you were a child, maybe 7 or 8 years old. You're in the supermarket with your parents, and there's the candy right there. Yes. What's the tendency to do? To go there and take one, huh? Ooh, I want this candy. Several, huh? You know what? It's our natural nature to take like that. This is why they have rules. This is why they have law, right? In order to have that, you must do something in exchange. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at verse 6 up here. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. We're gonna stop at verse 7, but it says, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. You know, it's tax time now. I had to ask Yolanda, I was missing a document from our Social Security, but I got to submit everything to the tax preparer, right? Why? Because if you don't file taxes, there's penalties. And when there's penalties, it doesn't feel good. Plus, you feel like there's a weight on you. Like you should have took care of that so that you wouldn't have that guilt or you're not running with that weight on your back. And so there's some things that are good for us, and we're going to look at it. We're going to break this down. We're going to break down these seven verses here. So let's go back to verse 1. Let every soul be subject. That means you and I, every soul, be subject to the governing authorities. So what are the governing authorities here? There's the police, right? There's the military. There's even authorities when we went to school, our teachers, the principal, our counselors, okay, and the church, you got the pastor, you got the deacons, you got the elders. There's authority in the church. There's authority everywhere. God has placed authority for us. It's to make us whole and well, and to for us to not get ahead of ourselves, to keep us always steadfast in doing good. Are we going to always do good? No, but guess what? The authority is there to keep us reminded of doing good. How many of you were rebels without a cause during high school? I think we broke every law. Huh? The first one was lying to our parents. And then hanging out with people we shouldn't be hanging out with. And then doing things we shouldn't have. And then getting in trouble. Okay, so that's why there's authority. And some people have done some time. How many of you have done time? Any hands here? Yeah. It's not a memorable moment. Those are days and times that you want to forget about. I don't want to think about that no more. Why? Because we're now children of the Most High God. And now we want to do what's right in the sight of God. Amen? And so Paul said that believers are to obey the government. This is what he's instructing. And these were wise words to this small group of believers that were there in Rome, living within the massive structure of the whole entire Roman Empire. But here he is. He's teaching. Paul was a great teacher, a great preacher. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. It wouldn't take much, saints of God, for an imperial edict to fall on a group who might become known for causing unrest within the empire. Because many have come up and were false prophets. Even Jesus said in the last days, there'll be what? False prophets. So there was false prophets then. There was false messiahs then. There was false everything. But Paul was the real deal. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. God truly changed his heart like he has changed our heart. Amen? You know, when I got saved, I said, okay, now I'm in agreement with the authority. I'm in agreement with the law. Before, man, I used to hate them like nobody else. Man, you know why? Because we were natural rebels at heart. It's our sinfulness. And so their quiet submission, saints of God, would not guarantee peace. But at least it might allow them to continue to spread the gospel freely for a time. And so that's what he did. He preached, he taught, and they shared. Look how many people that you have shared the gospel and see the fruit of it. Amen. Some of you have families, friends that have come to the saving knowledge because you weren't afraid to tell them about God. Yes. And God says, continue. Sometimes we have to just go back and do the first thing we used to do. God says, go back to your first love. Yeah. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. You see, Paul, the apostle, he does not recommend, saints of God, either of the two possible extreme responses to present a hostile authority. So he was basically, he's going to depict the authority of God and the authority of man. And then he's going to mesh it together where we can coexist with it. Where we as believers now can operate in the things that we used to hate. We used to run from cops. I used to run from cops. I used to, you know, not want to know any cop. And when my brother became a cop, I stayed away from my brother. But it's human nature when you're in the darkness. Yeah. It comes naturally when you're operating in the darkness, saints. And so Paul, he doesn't favor believers becoming like the zealots or Jewish rebels who fought often violently for what? What did they fight for? For the freedom from Rome. Neither does he suggest that they withdraw to the desert to set up their own community and to be like monks in a tower. What he's saying is you could learn to coexist with authority and with the law of God at the same time. Can I get amen? This is what I've learned, to worship the King, to love Him. And then when I step out of the threshold of my house, now I have to obey the authority in the land. But it's good for me. It's good for us. It keeps a healthy society going. Yeah. And this is what is now being restored in our land, is law and order. Before it was hideous. It was ugly. Smash and grab. And they would just take the things and run, and no one would go after them. Or be incarcerated and the same day let go. While the one that was perpetrated against is still in the hospital recovering from wounds. And that person who did that hideous crime is let go that night. How does that work? So we need to have what? A change there as well, don't we?
Yeah.
And this is why the Bible says pray. We're going to see here in the scripture, pray for those that are in authority.
Yeah.
That they would do the right thing. Yeah. That they would have a consciousness of the things of God, that God has instituted the authority here on earth for all men and women and children. And so my question is this, why would Paul go to this extreme? Because he saw the brutality of his own authority before he got saved. What did they do? They would do drive-bys. They would go and bust down doors and drag out believers. Help us, God. Just imagine having your door broke down because you're having a Bible study and hauled into prison. Did you know that Europe does that? Did you know that in Europe, if you're praying against abortion clinics in front, they haul you away? You can't even pray publicly in England anymore. Why? Because of the ungodliness that have set up camp. There's another God at work there. And we all know who that God is. when all the Muslims came in there. And so now they've gone in, they infiltrated the authority there. This is why we need to pray for the authority here in our land, that that they would restore what our forefathers had instituted from the very beginning. Law and order. That we can operate in a society that, number one, that loves the authority but loves God at the same time. And so, I found in Psalms chapter 2 is the governments of the world, they distort or betray this function. I'm not going to get political here, but the last administration was against the law of God. Why? Because they wanted to bring a lie into a truth, meaning transgender was okay. Homosexuality is okay. All these things that they believed in is not okay according to what? To the law of God. And so they're under God's constant restraint. God is constantly restraining this wickedness, this evil, and it rises up every... If you read the Old Testament and the book of Kings, there's always going to be, then arose a wicked king. And then after he would die, then a righteous king would rise up. And then after he died, then arose another wicked king. So it's been like that throughout the ages, throughout the history of time. There's always someone rising up with righteousness, and then there's someone rising up with wickedness. In these last prior 4 years, it was wicked. We were about to ready to be destroyed as a nation. Why do you think Trump won in a landslide? Because people said enough is enough. Bring back normalcy. Bring back common sense. It's not about being spiritual. It's about common sense. And so God is constantly restraining. But look what I found in Psalms 2, 1 through 12. Look at this. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away the cords from us. This is what they wanted to implement. Let's get God out of the court. Let's get God out of the school. Let's get God out of the public sector so we can be godless, so that we can have Marxism. You know what Marxism is? It's a society that doesn't acknowledge God. It's all humanistic. Yes, it's a type of communism. Karl Marx. And guess who studies all that? I'm gonna go on record and say, Obama, the Clintons, the Harrises, they're all under that teaching of Karl Marx, Marxism. Yes, yeah, look, yes. Alinsky, yes, all of them, all these people. And so they got into power, and now they try to implement it on us and try to distort us. But you know, I truly believe the saints of God rose up in prayer. Can I get amen? They said, let's get this darkness, this garbage out of here. But look at this in verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. This is God up there. Oh, man, look, you think God was taken back. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? God don't do that. Look at that. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Wow. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The Lord Jesus Christ. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son today, and I have what? Begotten you. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. You know what? Jesus says, you know what, Father, just give me the nations and watch me do what I'm going to do. And this, when Jesus comes back, he's going to renovate the world. You know, in real estate, if you walk into a dump, you'll walk in and walk out. But if you walk into a house that's totally renovated, it's like everything is brand new in here. And it so looks so good. I think you want that one. Well, God's going to renovate the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many can't wait for him to do that? Look at this. He says, and ask of me, I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible says in the book of Revelations, that God shall rule and reign with a rod of iron. So King David was already prophesying this. And by the way, Jesus came from the line of David. And when he comes back, he's going to sit on the throne of David. Look at this. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with what?
Trembling.
Trembling. And then he goes on to say like this. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their what?
Trust
in him. So this is the hope now that we have. That today, I don't know if you caught this. Please, YouTube it. Just go to YouTube and type in the first cabinet meeting. And I called Yolanda. I go, honey, come over here. All of Trump's cabinet, it was all on camera. This black minister, I forget his name, he's head of HUD, came in and started opening in the name of Jesus. And they all were praying in Jesus' name. He started saying, oh God, bless President Trump. Give him wisdom. Give all the cabinet members wisdom from on high. Instruct them the way they should go. He was bringing down fire, hallelujah, right there in the White House. Oh, thank you, God. That's what we've been praying for. That righteousness would exalt. And hallelujah. Righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. We need the righteousness of God to come back. I need you to catch that. Go back and watch that. You'll start crying and say, oh my God. They're praying in Jesus' name before they even open up their first meeting.
Amen.
And all the cabinet, it was a big, huge table. And all of them were there. And the cameras were on them. And President Trump says, we're not going any further until he opens up in prayer.
Amen.
That's all God. That's all God. And so enjoy these next 4 years. Pray for him that God watches over them. Because the enemy hates those guys. The enemy hates them all. They're going to come after him. Because the devil's a liar. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Whoo, Jesus. Man, that past administration never did that. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even have the cameras in their cabinet meetings. Matter of fact, they only met maybe once in those 4 years. Wow. Look what Daniel wrote right up here. Daniel 4:34. And at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to what?
Generation.
To generation. Look at this. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Can I get amen?
Amen.
See, God's always in control. Always know that God is in control. And you know what? I believe, and this is Pastor Fee 101. But I believe God allowed those 4 years of the last administration to see what we had. This is what you wanted. This is what you got. Okay, so let me remove it and quit crying now. I'm going to give you back what you need. Woo, I'm telling you, God is a good God. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Let's move on to verse 2 of chapter 13 of Romans. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. You see, if God has ordained certain things, don't resist it. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Oh, yeah. You break the law, you will pay for it. You cheat, you steal, you're breaking God. Listen, God sees everything. Don't think you got away with anything.
That's right.
You walk out with the candy bar and start eating it. Oh, yeah. You know what? Go back and pay it. Say, you know what? I took this, and my heart, I wanted to steal it, but I have to pay you for this. And just pay it and walk out. Come on. Be true to yourself. God sees it all. God sees it all. You see, saints, citizens of any government should respect their government and obey its total law. Can I get amen? If they refuse to obey the laws of the land, they are ultimately, saints of God, refusing to obey God and can expect punishment. Because God does punish. Don't you know, don't you believe that? He punishes. He still does. For 400 years, saints, there have been at least three interpretations of how we are to do this. Number one, let's look at this. Number one, some Christians believe that the state is so corrupt that Christians should have as little to do with it as possible. I remember growing up before I got saved, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I forget who else, they wouldn't send their kids because, no, we don't give blood, we don't do this, we don't fight for no one's army. You know, I used to say, wait a minute. Because my dad did 20 years in the military. My dad never complained. He was thankful to come here. And this before I had even spiritual wisdom or knowledge. I always say to myself, you're a citizen. Why don't you? But this is one thought here. Although they should be good citizens as long as they can to do so without compromising their beliefs, they should not work for the government, vote in elections, or serve in the military. And there's some Christian factions that do that still. The Amish, take for instance. They don't vote in our elections. You know who the Amish are, right?
Yeah.
No, they don't. They won't get involved in our government. They're involved in their own little world. And don't even turn on a radio. They have no electricity. Look at number two. Here's another thought. Others believe that God has given the state authority in certain areas and the church authority in others. Christians can be loyal to both and can work for either. I think I'm going to take this position. Because the church, if it's going to be silent in this society, then we're going to see a culture that we've seen these last 4 years. Why? Because the church was quiet. Where were the pulpits? Did you know this nation was built on the pulpits of preachers that stood for righteousness? The founding fathers, many of them were preachers of righteousness. So look at the third view. Still others believe that Christians have a responsibility to make the state better. They can do this politically by electing Christian or other high principled leaders. And when you see the cabinet that I shared with you, you'll be saying, man, God, look at God go. In the highest political office in the land, they opened in Jesus' name. Woo! And so none of these views advocates rebelling against or refusing to obey the laws or regulations, saints of God, unless those clearly require a person to violate the moral standards revealed by God. And so God has a standard. And if we violate the morality of God, the morals of God, now we're playing with fire.
That's right, yeah.
You see, my friends, the government can demand respect, obedience, taxes, honor from his citizens as much as God appoints governments to protect people. So it works hand in hand, right? And we're going to see how Jesus addressed this in the Gospels. We're going to get there in a few moments. But when a government demands allegiance that conflicts with the believer's loyalty to God, this is where now, you can't stand in my way on the things of God. You can't stop me from worshiping, reading my Bible, leading others to Christ,
yes,
preaching and teaching in my own home or in a building. This is where the line is drawn. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We draw that line. Now we don't live in China.
Come on.
We don't live in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We live here in these United States, where we still have our liberties and our freedoms to speak, especially the things of God.
That's right.
And so believers should never allow the government to force them to disobey God. Don't allow it. Because God says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus and his apostles never disobeyed the government for personal reasons. Mm-mm. And when they disobeyed, they were following their higher loyalty to God. Look at this in Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. Little brother Elliot said amen. Can't wait for Sunday. Can't wait. He can be dedicated to the Lord.
Amen.
He's going to be a man, child of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. And he has wonderful parents.
Yes, he does.
Two beautiful parents. Praise God. And so their disobedience was not cheap, saints. They were threatened, beaten, thrown into jail, tortured, and executed for their convictions. Wow. This is why I enjoy our freedoms now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We don't never want to. It was headed that way.
2020.
Yes, when 2020 rolled around, it was headed that way. And if Trump would have lost the election, you could bet your last bottom dollar that they were coming after the church now.
Yeah.
They were coming for the church. We got to silence their voice because they're the only ones that are making a ruckus. You know, the church made the ruckus. Praise God. If we are compelled to disobey, we must be ready to accept the consequences. We can't disobey. We got to honor God. Look at 1 Peter 2 right here. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So he's saying, okay, if they have an ordinance, obey it for God's sake, not for their sake, for God's sake. Whether to the kings as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So in other words, God raised up authority to punish the evil. Aren't you so thankful that if someone does you harm, someone now needs to go to prison or jail? Someone that threatened your life or maybe damage someone that you know, beat them to a bloody pulp, they are no longer whole and well. That crime that was done against them needs to what? Be dealt with. Amen. And so God set up punishment for evildoers. And then God says, praise for those who do good.
Yeah.
And that's you.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God has called you to do good.
God has called you
to do good. Amen. Yes, he has. Look at this in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Look at this. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit, capital S, when you see capital S, that's Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Who's upon you?
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit's upon you and in you. Look at this. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. Can I get an amen? Amen. Stay out of people's biz. Mind your own biz. That's what God is saying. Just mind your own biz. And you know what? Pray for them if you don't agree with them. Pray with them. Pray for them. And you know what? Sometimes we need our heart changed. Not so much theirs, but our own heart. Oh, God, help me love them. I may disagree. I may not think like they do. But you know what? That's my brother and that's my sister in Christ. Help me love them. Help me, God. Some of us need a lot of help. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So let's move on now to verse 3 of Romans chapter 13. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Did you catch that again? Look at that. For rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise, what? From the same. So the same ones that have to go arrest those perpetrators, those corrupt people, the murderers, the slayers, the thieves, that same authority praises you for doing good. That's right. And one of the things is, you don't see them knocking on your door for no reason. Thank God that we're left in peace, because God is with us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
We don't live in a society where someone's knocking on our door. We need to come in and search. Wow, they do that in Iran. They do that in China. And if you don't let them in, you're hauled away. They'll take everything you have. They have no freedom there. And their underground church is so underground that you can't find them unless you can trust someone that knows where they're at and won't squeal on them. And so these verses focus on officials who are also doing their duty. Saints of God, society needs leadership and positive constraints in order to ensure your safety, my safety, and the well-being of all citizens. You know, on my cell phone, my brother David, when he calls me, it says, Officer Dave. Because he's a cop. He's born a cop. Man, he came out with a pistol and a badge. I have 5 brothers and 6 sisters, and he came out a lawman. When we were kids, he always wanted to be the cops. He was never the robbers. He was always the cop. And so you know what? We can see now. God called him to do that. God selected him. Because God knows his heart. That you know what? He'll do the right thing with the authority. This is why God picked David, because he knew that he would love me through his mistakes. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't like his brothers who were men of battle, men of war. Man, the prophet saw. God chose you because you have a heart after me. Wow. And that's why we got saved. There ain't nothing we can offer God. Is there anything we could have offered him that said, this is why you chose me? No. He saw our heart, and he saw that, you know what? When he made that choice with us, he knew that we would serve him and love him and praise him.
Amen.
We didn't know that. No one knew that. Anyone know that in your family? That you were going to choose God? And no, he chose us. So the result of that choice is demonstrated through our adoration toward him. We love him now. Because the Bible says, he first loved us while we were yet still sinners. Wow. That goes a long way when you know that. Look what Timothy wrote right here, 1 Timothy. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. That's why God had to ordain the law for those folks. If it was wicked then, it's still wicked today. Can I get amen? Mm-hmm. But look what Titus wrote here in the book of Titus. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Now he goes on and speaks to us directly, saying, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once what?
Foolish.
Look at this. Disobedient. We were deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's how we used to rule. Man, we were the what up kind of folk. We see a rival gang, man, we want to, man, let's go. We see someone on the other side of town, let's go. You're on my side now. Oh, come on, we used to roll like that. You remember. You see things. When these officials are just, people who are doing right have nothing to fear. You know what? If you're doing right, there's no monkey on our back. There's no weight on our shoulders. We don't have to keep turning around. When you're doing right in private and you're doing the same righteousness in public, guess what? You become an honorable saint of God in His eyes. And guess what? There's nothing that could be thrown at you other than mocking you because you love God. But Jesus said, rejoice when they ridicule you. For heaven is your reward. It's okay. Let them mock you. Let them call you, oh, goody good two shoes. Let them call you holy roller. It's okay. You see, saints, governments that serve well facilitate and encourage citizens to do right. And this is what I saw today. I literally was crying. The highest office in the land opened up in Jesus' name. Before the world. Before the nations. Before all the other nations around the world. Russia saw it. Iran saw it. All of them saw it. All America saw it. They opened up their first cabinet meeting in Jesus' name. Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you,
God. Jesus. Yeah. And when he was done, and when he said, in Jesus' name, President Trump said, this man is going places.
Amen.
He goes, I'm glad he's on our cabinet.
Yeah.
He was a cabinet member. Head of HUD. And he called the brother to come and pray. He was a black brother. His ethnicity was black. And man, he prayed in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking, it wasn't one of those, oh, God bless this meeting, thank you. No, it wasn't nothing like that. He went on to pray. He prayed for everyone in there. He prayed that God would give them wisdom and understanding and knowledge, that God would lead them. Woo! Man. I'm still excited from watching that. Because that's how we need to operate no differently. To operate like that with the authority of Christ. God. How many believe that if God's for you, nothing can be against you? Oh, come on. That's right. Nothing can be against you. See, we must be careful not to be ruled by our own sinful desires like we just saw these scriptures up here. Our protest may not be spiritual but rooted in our offended pride or hatred by any authority when we were rolling back in the day. But now that we got the love of God, the grace of God, let us say yes and amen, Lord. Let your perfect will be done, God. And so this response is not directed by Christ or by the Holy Spirit, but it's His ordinance. Thank you, God. So now let's move to verse 4, Romans 13, as we continue to move forward with this message. Look at this. For He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for He does not bear the sword in vain. For He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Let me just say this. You ever heard this saying before? You're not going to get away with that. That's going to catch up to you. You keep doing that, you're going to get punished. And mark the words that you say when you warn someone. Because eventually, guess what happens? They get caught. Some people die. Some people get shot. Some people will have a hideous car accident. Something happens to that person who walks in a rebellious lifestyle that chooses to obey God. It happens. Why? Because God's in total control. And so rulers are in their position only because God has placed them there. Look what it says in Proverbs right up here. Proverbs 21, 1 through 3. Look at this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Look at verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than what?
Sacrifice.
So what God is saying basically, you know what? Just learn to do good. And then guess what? God says, I'm pleased with that. It honors me. And guess what? It honors everyone around you. Everyone around you is, they'll feel at peace with you. They'll feel safe with you. Because you honor them, you honor God, you're walking in righteousness. There's a fragrance now around your life that becomes contagious. And there's some people that says, I want what you got. I don't see you curse. I don't see you swear. I don't see you chew and hang out with those who do. You don't do that no more. And guess what? People want to see that in a brother and sister. You know what? You know what it shows? It shows great leadership. It shows that you are productive, that God wants to use you, and God is using you. And watch others come into the saving knowledge because you choose to do the things that God has called you to do.
Amen.
Because look, listen, saints, all governments, all earthly governments, they're all temporary. They're temporary. Only Christ's reign will be eternal. And that's around the corner. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. How many can't wait for that to come?
Amen.
The millennial reign. Just imagine reigning with Him for 1,000 years. Listen, I've only been alive for 66 years. Some of you may be a little older. Some of you a whole lot younger. But we only are given so many years on this earth. And then the body goes back to the dust.
Yeah.
But when He comes back, we're going to live with Him on this earth for 1,000 years in that new resurrected body. It's the great exchange. Here on earth, we gave Him our heart. And all we did was repent. And we said, God, forgive me. Here's my heart. And what did He do? The great exchange was He took our black, ugly heart, and He washed us in His blood. And then He filled us with His Spirit. And then He sealed our fate with Him.
Amen.
And now we're forever going to be with Him, forevermore. He's the one that transforms our mind. We talked, you know, last night was wonderful with the men. I believe, Pastor Art, God did something in the men last night. Well, there was about 12 of us here last night. I believe God was doing... I felt God doing something with the men last night. And we kept talking. We nobody wanted to go home. We kept talking about the Lord. We kept talking about the Lord. And then Lafayette goes, His presence is here. I go, yes.
Amen.
His presence is here because that's what we want.
Yeah.
I'd rather have His presence here than anything else. God is here. And so we were all talking about the things we were talking about now. We were talking about that last night. And it was awesome. And you taught a good lesson last night, Pastor Art. We appreciate you, man, for teaching the men. And so, men, if you're watching, you're part of this church, and you haven't been involved, get involved. Just pick up wherever you're doing, just pick up and go. And watch God do great and mighty things in your heart. And then, you know what? You'll bring others. We told everyone, you know what? Bring others. Just tell someone. And you start bringing others. And then God does the work. You see, where the fire is, that's when God will bring them.
Everybody participated.
Everybody. You see, my friends, believers who have the opportunity to affect change must challenge, speak out, offer solutions, and confront the power and the structure of what's before us. In other words, if there's a resistance there, guess what? We have the authority to confront it. No, that's not right. God says that's an abomination. No, God said that's sinful. No, God said don't do that. We can teach others what's right or wrong because some of them don't know what we know. We've been instructed by the Lord. And so when you have that knowledge, you want to share it with other people in a loving way so they understand. When you read God's word, it'll tell you how to conduct yourself in a more positive way, in a more godly way. You see, my friends, even if the human authority contradicted the divine authority, a believer must be true to his conscience in following the higher authority. Look what it says in the book of Hebrews right here. Oh, let's go to verse 5 first. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. So guess what we deal with? Our own conscience. Did you know God gave us a conscience? I talked about when we were, 7 years old, we went in and took that candy bar. Well, guess what? Our conscience really said, I'm not supposed to do that, but I'm going to take it. God still gave us a conscience to choose. And since we don't know any better, we do it. But once we understand God's ways and God's law, then we have a conscience, what? To do what's right and to do what's wrong. And when we fail God, He brings conviction.
Yes.
But He never condemns us.
That's right.
Satan will condemn you left and right. He's the father of lies. He'll condemn you to death. He's the one that will put you on blast. Hey, look at her. Look at him. Look at her. Look. And God said, come to your prayer closet. Give it to me. Leave it right here. Yeah, I'm going to put you in the whooping shed for a bit. But then I'm going to redirect you and restore you and equip you further. And fill you with my joy and tell you that I love you and keep moving forward. That's how we should instruct our children. Amen? You point out the things that they disobeyed and you correct it, but then you pull them back and show them love without this. Bah, 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 bah. I told you. Tell them why they did wrong and then pull them back in. Pull them back in and say, I only told you this because I love you. And I don't want to see you go a wrong path. We love you. Just don't do it no more. When you come with that approach, those kids will get it. Because they'd rather be loved than to be pointed fingers on and shouted and yelled at. I'll receive love before I receive that. That just gets me more mad. and more rebellious without any love in return. Yeah, point out my wrong, but then, okay, is there any consolidation? Do you still love me? Some kids want to know that. You're so angry at me. Do you still love me, though? You got to reassure them that you do love them. Reassure them. Look what Hebrews says right up here. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls and those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you, as I just mentioned. Just submit. Learn to submit to the authority. Submit to those who have authority over you. Submit in love. Look what Proverbs says, 24:21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Uh-oh. Did you know that we were, even in the last 4 years of that, we were supposed to even pray for him? And we did. Okay, God, that's not what we want, so replace him, God. That's it. We don't have to pray any evil against him. We don't have to, you know, say, oh, God, let the lightning rod strike him. No. No, we don't pray like that. That's witches pray like that. Witches and warlocks pray like that. They pray to bring harm to you. We got to learn how to lift people up. You know how God blessed Job? Because he prayed for his friends. And then God blessed them tenfold because he prayed for his friends. I know God is saying something to somebody right now. Those people that you got on your export. Oh, man. I got them right. No. Let God take the eraser and just erase that anger and that hatred and learn to pray for them. Yes. Look at this. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for the calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. Listen, don't worry about judgment for them. God will judge them. Pray for them. You know what our prayer should be when people are wicked and evildoers? Oh, God, have mercy. You know why? Because he had mercy on us. So the same mercy, oh God, just save them and their heart will change and then they'll learn to love you, God. Just pray the best for them, amen? And let God judge them and rule them. We can't control that. We can't. And so let's go to verse 6 of Romans chapter 13. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to do this very thing. Tax time, saints. It's tax time. The dreaded time of the year. Especially if you're 1099. Yes. Yes. You know, we got to find the receipt for this and the receipt for that. I mean, you know, praise God, we could write off many things. But you still don't get it all back? You don't. But look, how did God deal with that? How did God deal with that then? Because in crisis time, the tax, the people that dealt with they were like the IRS of the day. The people hated them. They looked at them as evil. They're wicked. I hate them. But look how God deals with this. Look at it in Matthew. Look at that in Matthew 22:21. They said to him regarding Caesar. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Okay, that's the government of the day. Okay, if he's demanding a couple of shekels, give it to him. And render to God things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. These were the Pharisees that were trying to entrap Jesus. You know, they were always trying to corner Jesus. They were always trying to make him stumble and fall. I bet he can't answer this one. He said, yeah, no problem. Just give Caesar his. And then give God his. And then you're okay. They couldn't figure that out. It's almost like, where were these folks? But God's a marvel. This is the truth that stands the test of time. Why? Because it's tax time. We're going to give the IRS their due, right? And then we get to keep what's left. And then we can... You know, and it's mentioned not just in Matthew, it's mentioned in Mark. Look at this. And Jesus said, Jesus answered instead of them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they, again, marveled. You see, taxes pay the salaries for the government to workers so that they keep on doing the work of God. But guess what Doge is finding out right now? And I heard this. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think I heard this. All the money that they're cutting off going to these ungodly, made-up non-profit organizations, they had somehow, they're going to find it. They're going to have a paper trail coming back to the ones who set it up. So how does a person who the highest per year, a president makes $250,000 a year, tops, that's it. How do you leave office and have $54 million? Where did Obama get that money? Where did the Clintons get $50, $60 million? Where did Schumer get all this money? Because what they did was they set up these nonprofit things going to, through USAID, making up a nonprofit, and then sending the money from the government there, and then it boomeranged back to them. My. I'm telling you, some people are going to go to prison. And I hope they do, because you know what? That's where our money went. So I heard this. I could be wrong. But all that, it's almost $1 trillion that they're going to just cut off. I heard Trump say, you know what? I'm going to send a lot of that money back to the taxpayers.
Amen.
All of us have been getting ripped off. Mm-hmm. Going to transgender giraffes in South Africa. Studying them. They're all these makeup. Yes. There's over 400 that Doge found that are criminal. If you go to Sean Hannity's website, he's got them all listed. This is what Doge found. Some are billions of dollars. Billions of dollars donated to these nonprofits, coming back and lining their pockets. How do you collect $250,000 a year and build this paradise home that's millions of dollars in Hawaii? Ask Obama, because that's where he's doing. Wow. Help us, God. Oh, someone just turned us off. You see, government taxation and abuses of taxation were causing great unrest in those cities. And guess what? Finding out this now, people want law and order back. People want the government to be transparent now. They want open books now, not closed doors. And this is why the first cabinet meeting was on camera for the first hour. Thank you, Jesus. Total transparency for us. Thank you, God. Did you get that in the last administration? No. Everything was done in the dark. So Paul says, hey, pay what Caesar's and pay what belongs to the government. In this regard, Paul followed Jesus, who told Peter to pay taxes so that as not to offend the government authorities. We find this. Look at this in Matthew right up here. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Look at verse 26. And so Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you." Did you catch that? He says, "I will supply the money for you to pay them. You may not have it, but guess what? God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory." What he's saying, maybe the IRS is just wringing you dry, but God will provide for you. To render under Caesar was his. This is what Jesus just said. He says, just go in there. Watch. Cast your net. Catch that fish. And God put a coin in that fish's mouth. Man. Only God could create these things for us. Can I get an amen? So never be afraid of authorities. Especially the ones that are ordained by God. They're here to protect us, and they're here to watch over us. And pray for them. And then pray for those who spitefully use you. Mm-hmm. So we look at our last verse of scripture for tonight. It's found in Romans chapter 13, verse 7. "And render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom of fear, and honor to whom what? Honor." Saints, Christians are not exempt from fulfilling the expectations of any government. We have to just be the citizens of that government during that time. And whether it's implemented to obey the law of the land, we do that until they infringe on our godly rights as believers. When they cross that line, that's when we say, no. Mm-mm. You can't take away my worship. You can't take away the word. You can't take away my praising and winning souls. You can't take away from learning the Bible. And you can't take away our Bibles. And I leave you with this scripture here in Malachi 1:6. "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" And they despised God when Jesus came. When Jesus finally came to the rabbis, they despised his name. But the true believers knew he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Saints, I'm going to end here tonight, but maybe there's people watching. And maybe you used to be a lawbreaker. Maybe you're still breaking the law. I don't know. But take great comfort to know that God wants to forgive you for anything that you've ever done in your life. He is the God that will take away the sins that were in the past, the sins that were in the present, and the sins that are even going to be committed in the future. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I truly believe you have logged on, not by coincidence, not by happenstance, but it was ordained by God that you would listen to this message and that God is calling you to himself by faith. If that is you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would enter into that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would repent of your sins, that he would wash you in the blood that was shed on the cross, and that he would fill you with his Holy Spirit of promise, and you will forever be his, like we are. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy? Woo, he is worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.